Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I have commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart shall be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd, Lord, use the message this morning to help us to learn to be better at being a blessing to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm so glad that I grew up in the time that I did in the United States of America. I'm glad that when we began to attend school north of Brazil, Indiana, the Bee Ridge Elementary School out there in the country, I'm glad that there were still some things that were normal in our country, and by the way, still should be normal today. I'm glad that every single day when we went to school, we wouldn't have thought of starting the day without standing up, putting our hands over our heart, and facing the American flag, and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm glad that we had teachers in that school, that once we did our Pledge of Allegiance, they would have us be seated, and that every single one of them had a King James Holy Bible on the corner of their desk, and they'd reach up there and open the Bible. Yes, I'm talking about in the public school system. Open the Bible and read some of the Word of God before we start. It was a normal thing for us when we stood to be dismissed at lunch, for us to bow our heads. I'm talking about in a public school. And thank the Lord for his blessings. These were normal things in America. And these were right things in America. I think it was at the Bee Ridge Elementary School that I first learned to sing this song. And they had a little music class. They would usher us all in. And a guy would come in and teach some music. And one of the first songs that he taught us was a song entitled God Bless America. And it got to be almost the anthem of our elementary school. You know, if you teach children these type of songs and it gets in their heart, they just fall in love with them. And I can remember long after music class was over, and we'd be out on recess, and there'd be kids over in this field playing and kids on the playground over here playing, and some kids back behind Bee Ridge Elementary School, there was a big ravine that went down and then back up, and we'd play everywhere. I mean, we just play everywhere. But I can remember that sometimes during the course of a recess, somewhere on the playground, somebody would start singing, God bless America, land that I love. And you know what? It's just as normal as can be for others to start joining in. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet. And what we just did here would happen across the school ground. Now think about that, folks. Good night, the ACLU, is that what it is? Would be called, black helicopters would come in. Kids would be carted off the property in handcuffs for daring to. Well, what has happened to America? I'm talking about an elementary school, little elementary school north of Brazil, Indiana. I got to go there my first grade year, my second grade year, my third grade year. And then they had this brilliant idea that we needed to consolidate our schools. And as soon as they brought these country schools all into town and consolidated them, it was their opportunity to start taking God out of our schools. And that's exactly what began to happen from fourth grade on, Forest Park Elementary. All of a sudden, the Bibles are disappearing off the desk. Teachers are being told they can't pray anymore. What in the world? What in the world? What is going wrong with America? You say, preacher, but what about that person that doesn't believe the same as we do? Don't they have rights? Yes, They've got the right, if they want to, not to pray when we pray. All right? I mean, it's America. But don't take the rights, our rights, away because of a small minority of people that want to declare that they have a right. Okay? They don't want to have to pray. They don't want to pray. They sit there quietly and respectfully and not pray. But don't tell me I can't pray. See, we got our thinking all backwards on this, folks. In order to satisfy a small minority, we're taking the rights of free Americans away from them en masse. And our Supreme Court and those justices that were involved in that, I'm going to tell you something, they're going to stand before the Supreme Court one of these days. And they're going to be judged by the judge of the universe for what they did to our young people and for the future of this country. And I don't know why you got me started on that this morning. So. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Wait a minute, how about this thought? Isn't it time for America to bless God? I mean, folks, it's undeniable that God has blessed us. We're going to talk about that this morning, but wouldn't it be good if we blessed God? I kind of think that when all of those country kids go into that country elementary school and start singing across the playground, God bless America, I think God was blessed by that. I think he looked down from heaven, and I think he was pleased with what he heard. I think maybe he looked over at his son on his right-hand side and said, you hear what they're singing? You hear that song they're singing down there about me? And that's one of the reasons that God continued for many years to open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing upon our country. You know, we're all asking God to bless us. Well, maybe it's time for us to learn to bless him. In every relationship of life, young people, listen to this very, very important lesson I'm going to teach you right now. In every relationship of life, it tends to start that relationship with one being one-sided, where one person begins to bless another. And if we're not careful, if you're the one that's being blessed, you can just start taking that for granted. You can think, well, it's their job. For instance, let me talk to you kids about appreciating your parents. Well, preacher, you know, it's their job to take care of me. Well, I don't think they look at it as a job. I think they love doing it. And you know what? They took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. And they fed you when you couldn't feed yourself. And they clothed you when you didn't have the wherewithal to clothe yourself. And they raised you up and taught you things. And you know what? Can I say this? As a child, it's very easy to sit there and say, Mom and Dad's job is to bless me, to bless me, to bless me. Wait a minute. Maybe it's time for you to bless them. Maybe it's time to learn to be a blessing back to them. If I was to call every young person and say, make you stand up today and say, I want you to give testimony of what you did this week that was an unusual blessing to your mother or an unusual blessing to your father, would you be able to say anything? Do you have anything to testify of? Or have you just developed this selfish attitude that, you know what, Mom and Dad's supposed to be there for me and they're supposed to take care of me and they're supposed to give to me and that's their job. Wait a minute. That's the kind of attitude that I'm afraid America has towards God. We've received blessing, received blessing, received blessing for so long. Hey, wait a minute. Somebody needs to stand up and say, stop, stop, hold on a minute. Why don't we spend a week being a blessing to the Lord? Why don't we bless his heart? Why don't we be a blessing to him? And so I wanted to bring this to you this morning because I was reading where the Bible has this little phrase in it about blessing the Lord. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. I looked at that phrase and I thought to myself, well, I'm going to chase that around. 18 times in 15 verses, you'll find the little phrase, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. And I said, well, I'm going to study that out. That's not a whole lot of verses. And I studied them out. I'm just going to bring you a handful of thoughts. If you want to get the whole thing, then dive in. Study it out for yourself this week. You know, I don't believe that the pulpit ought to give you everything. I think it ought to just whet your appetite enough to want you to get in and get the rest of it. Amen. And so how do we learn to be a blessing to God? How can I bless the Lord? Well, we see in Deuteronomy 8, verse number 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Let's just stop there. How about that? We should bless the Lord, and we can be a blessing for the Lord when we take the time to show appreciation for the bounty that he has provided for us. Folks, we live in an amazing country. I mean, we really do. It's amazing what the Lord has provided and the power that this country has in literally feeding the world. And over again, we see that not only has God blessed our country with enough to feed all of us, but he's blessed our country with enough to feed and send out and export and send all across the world. I think this is the piece of paper I was looking for. And I Googled this thing. Well, aren't you hidden Googling neat? I'm telling you what, all the things you can find out. You know, America, this is a good land. This is a good land. I was thinking back and I read this and it's so much. I don't know how much I want to bore you this morning. But folks, I just went back and studied. What about the history of the first Thanksgiving? What was that all about? And I just, and I don't know, it's not Thanksgiving, but folks, good night. Every Sunday ought to be Thanksgiving, and every Monday ought to be Thanksgiving, and every Tuesday ought to be Thanksgiving, which means we ought to be eating a lot more turkey than we're eating right now. Amen, brother. Every day should be Thanksgiving. Glory to God. And I read about this history of Thanksgiving. 53 pilgrims at that first Thanksgiving, the only colonists to survive the long journey on the Mayflower in the first winter in the New World. Disease, starvation struck down half of the original 102 colonists. And yet, they had a time of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. It happened on the Thanksgiving Day feast. The modern one takes place on the third Thursday of November, the first Thanksgiving. They're not exactly sure when it did. Sometime September, November of 1621. 1621. Now I want you to imagine God for a minute. Hey, can we just this morning get out of our little selfish world and go up and think about how God feels when he's looking down from heaven? Okay, instead of us going to our prayer closet and say, I need. Have you ever stopped and thought what he needs? You know, have you ever thought about just for a minute what we could do to be a blessing to him? So God is looking down and there's this little group of pilgrims down there. And you know what they do? They pick a day sometime during September, November of 1621. 90 Indians show up. 90 Indians. How about that? They weren't Navajos, by the way, but 90 Indians showed up. And one of these Indians was a young man named Squanto. Spoke fluent English, been appointed by their chief to serve as the pilgrim's translator and guide. And here's one of the accounts that was penned by Bradford. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling. It means they went bird hunting. And so we might have a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. They four in one day killed as much fowl as with a little help besides served the company almost a week, at which time amongst other recreations we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us and amongst the rest their greatest king, Massillon, and some 90 men whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted and went out and killed 5 deer, amen, which they brought to the plantation, bestowed on our governor and upon the captains and themselves. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at that time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. It was so neat in this particular site. It gave the list of the men and the women that attended that first Thanksgiving. It's got all of their names here. Eleanor Billington, Mary Brewster, Elizabeth Hopkins, Susanna White Winslow, John Alden, Isaac Allerman, and I could go on down. I mean, all of them, teenagers and children. Mary Chilton, Constance Hopkins, Priscilla Mullins. And you know what, folks? These names don't mean anything to us, but God looked down from heaven and saw 53 pilgrims stop what they were doing and said, you know what we need to do? God's been so good to us. Let's invite our new neighbors. Let's bring them in. Let's have a feast. And let's just have a time set aside to thank the Lord for the good land that he has given us, the good land. Folks, America is an amazing, amazing country. Major agricultural products. In annual millions of tons a year, millions of tons annually a year. In the United States of America,
I'm looking at two different pictures here. Millions of tons. 354 million tons of corn produced by this country every single year. 354 million tons. 11 million tons of cattle meat. 91 million tons of cow's milk. 17 million tons of chicken. Soybeans, 89 million tons. I mean, y'all came to the picnic yesterday. I felt like we were having a first Thanksgiving, you know. I mean, there we were, tables full of food. We gather together. We're enjoying our time together, fellowship together. Everybody's enjoying themselves. The wild Indians are over there on the slide, running up and down that slide. I listened as I mingled with the people, and how many times did I hear, God's given us a beautiful day, preacher. Could it be a more perfect day? The food is amazing. We're a blessed people. And you know what I think? I think God looked down from heaven and was blessed. You know why? Because somebody stopped and said, thank you for the good land that you've provided for us. Thank you for the bounty. The Bible says, when thou hast eaten and art full. You know, every single time you sit down at a good meal and you walk away with a full stomach, there ought to be a in your heart a thankfulness, Lord, that we live in this kind of country. 10.5 million tons of pig meat. Amen. A lot of that's bacon, folks. You okay, come on now. 58 million tons of wheat. 2.8 million tons of cotton lint. 5.6 million tons of hen eggs. Turkey meat, 2.6 million tons. Chickens beat you, though. I mean, chickens up on you, 17.4. So we need more. You need to build you some more barns over there. You guys don't have enough to do. Come on, catch the chickens. 12.6 million tons of tomatoes. How many of you like tomatoes? How many of you don't like tomatoes? We're going to have an invitation in just a little while. Those of you that don't like tomatoes, you can come up here and get right with the Lord. Good night. How can you not like? Come on now. 19.8 million tons of potatoes. 7.7 million tons of grapes. 7.6 million tons of orange. I'm not talking about the world producing this. The United States of America. God has blessed us. Don't you think we ought to stop and bless him every once in a while? 8.6 million tons of rice, 4.1 million tons of apples, 3.6 million tons of lettuce, so on and so forth. I was going to read sugar beets, but I really don't like beets, and so I don't worry about that. It's amazing, folks. Absolutely amazing what the Lord's done. Do you know that there's over 89 million cows and calves in the United States of America? 89 million. There's about 360 million people, 89 million cattle. There's 66 million hogs. There's 1,506 million chickens. I mean, think about that. Laying hens, 350 million. Sheep, over 5 million. What are you saying? I'm saying we live in a country of plenty. And you know what? Listen to me. I'm going to get to this and we're going to say it. And I'm going to say it more than once. So if you're a complainer, you're not going to like the message this morning. But nothing is a greater insult to God than the complaints of an American Christian. How do you bless God? Stop complaining. How do you bless God? Stop walking around talking about what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have. Be a blessing to God. I was sitting there yesterday and we had those watermelons, and I went and got a big knife and started cutting into those watermelons. You think about it, folks. Have you ever just looked at what God created for us? I mean, from a little seed, you can get all of these big, gigantic watermelons and throw them in the back of a truck and throw a bunch of ice on top of them and split them down the middle. And it's a miracle what's on the inside. It's delicious. God made that for us. He blessed us with it. And the Bible says, when thou hast eaten and art full. And so, you know, that's the needed to happen in order to fulfill the verse. So I made sure that I ate until I was full. And then I blessed the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. You know, folks, if you think about it, I think the most delicious things on the planet are not something that somebody made in some restaurant somewhere, but something that God just packaged right there for us to pick and eat. I'll still see my dad working in the garden with that hoe, and he'd have a little salt shaker with him, and he'd get one of those ripe tomatoes, and he'd take a bite out of it, and then he'd just salt it like that. He'd take another bite out of it and salt it like that. Folks, God did that. God created that. I mean, God, when he was creating the whole world, said, man, what can I put on there to just be a blessing to the people that I'm going to put on this earth? And so he created something called a cantaloupe. And I don't understand why your taste buds change during the year or during your lifetime, but when I was a kid, they couldn't get me to eat cantaloupe to save my soul. But now, you know what? I'll eat my weight in it now. I mean, and you got this thing, this melon, and again, you wait till it's ripe, and you cut it open, and oh, my goodness sakes, are you kidding me? I mean, I like bananas. I mean, can you think of our great God that says, I'm going to create a tree? And what it's going to do, it's going to produce all of these big yellow. I mean, God invented, he thought of this stuff for us. And they're going to be able to pick these things and just peel them. I mean, folks, it's easier to open a banana than it is to get one of those Ziploc things open, you know. Just break off the top and you peel it, and there's this perfect piece of fruit that has potassium, all kinds of good things for you, and you eat it. And what I'm saying is God has put us in a good land, in a good land. And so we should praise the Lord. We should bless the Lord for the good land he's given us. America's a good land. By the way, southern Indiana, you're blessed to live here. I mean this. Those of you that took the trip out to the Navajo Indian Reservation with us, you know, let me say this. Not all parts of America can produce what we can produce here. And you know what? There's a lot of places in America that's fun to go look at because they're very scenic, but I'm not sure you'd want to really try to live there and try to make a living off of it and try to produce some things out of it. But I'm going to tell you something. Young people, don't complain about where you were born or where you're raised at. I know everything always looks better that's different. But at some point, hopefully you'll mature enough to say, you know what? I was blessed to live near Jacksonville, Indiana. I was blessed to live in southern Indiana. You're a blessing to God when you pause to give thanks for what he's provided. By the way, did you notice what the rest of the portion of the scripture says? Beware. Notice right after that, verse number 11, beware. You know, one of the most dangerous paths that you can get on is a path of unthankfulness. If we don't stop and bless God for what he provides for us and bless the Lord for the place he's put us, if we ever stop doing that, I promise you, you're on a dangerous path. Because he said, beware, lest thou forget not, that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Well, how do we forget him? We forget him when we stop giving thanks. We forgive him when we start complaining and carrying on. I'm talking about being a blessing to God. God's done so much for us. And I'm afraid that most of the time God listens down. And you know what? When you've done extra things, special things, miraculous things, wonderful things for a people, doesn't God have a right to kind of lean over the banisters of heaven and listen to us be a blessing back and have a thankful spirit and a thankful heart and appreciation for what we have? And yet we live in the greatest country in the world. We have so much bounty. We're so blessed. And we're the most complaining people on the face of the earth. And I pray God smite your heart every single time this week that you complain about anything. Look right up here. I'm trying to help somebody. Some of you have become chronic, habitual complainers. You can't see what you have because you are eaten up with what you don't have. And you know what? If I was God, I wouldn't give you anything. I mean, come on, parents. You bless your children, 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 bless your children. Then all you hear from that is, well, I didn't get this, and I wanted this instead, and well, we never got to do this. You know what the smart parent would do to maybe teach them a little appreciation? Turn the faucet off for a while. I'm afraid God's going to turn the faucet off on America one of these days because he's tired of hearing. Listen, I'm not talking about just average America, Christian America. Let's bless the Lord this week. Let's allow him to hear some thankfulness from our hearts. Good night. You know what? Did you have plenty to eat this week? I mean, were you blessed? We live in a good land. I mean, good night. We get to eat until we're full. You know how many places on the planet children have gone to bed over the last year? And not one time did they ever go to bed full. Not one time did they ever go to bed where they didn't fight hunger pains as they're trying to fight for sleep. And boy, we come on now. Let's bless the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Go to Psalms chapter 16, the 16th Psalm. Let's go to another place. We'll just look at a few of these this morning. I'd like you to look at all of them. I'd like you to study it out. It might be an encouragement to you. Hey, God bless America. Well, maybe we need to bless God a little bit. Psalm 16, verse number 7. Psalm 16, and if you will, look at verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I will bless the Lord. David wrote this through inspiration. He was a man after God's own heart. Most of the times in the Bible that you read the phrase, I will bless the Lord, it was David who wrote it. You'll find it mostly in the Psalms. Maybe that's why he was a man after God's own heart. You know why? Because David was conscious to take the time to stop and bless the Lord and thank the Lord. Number one, you're a blessing to God when you pause to give thanks for what he's provided. The land that we live in, the bounty that we partake of. Number two, you're a blessing to God when you thank him for his counsel and his leading in your life. Look at this verse. There's so much good in this verse right here. I will bless the Lord. Why, David? Why are you stopping right now and trying to be a blessing back to God? Because he hath given me counsel. Let's stop right there. You know what? David did not look at the counsel of God as something to be avoided or something to be disdained. He was thankful that God provided counsel for him. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God's provided me a whole book full of counsel right here. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. God's protected it. God's provided an abundance of copies of it in the United States of America. The average home in this room doesn't just have a part of a Bible. Or a few pages of a Bible, or maybe a book of the Bible. We have Bibles. And God's provided us the wisdom of God through the pages of the Scriptures. And then God looks down at America, and you know what he sees in the average home? He sees, if he finds a Bible, he sees one that's never open. He sees one that's never read. He sees one that the counsel is ignored and not considered. Let me tell you how you can be a blessing to God tomorrow morning. The alarm goes off. You go in, you take a shower, get awake. You make your pot of coffee because every good Christian drinks coffee. Amen. And eats tomatoes. Coffee and tomatoes, all right? And then God looks down from heaven and he sees you go like this. And you know what? You just bless the Lord. Listen, folks, I'm telling you what I'm telling you today. You don't have to be a millionaire to be able to bless the Lord. You don't have to be multi-talented in order to bless the Lord. You don't have to be popular in order to bless the Lord. You know what you do? You bow your head from time to time after you've eaten a meal and you say, thank you, God. I could be living in a country where I'm starving to death. Thank you, God, for the good land that you've put me in. Thank you for the good food you've just provided for me. Lord, thank you for that. And God looks down, I think, from heaven. And you think about this, folks. Come on now. Well, I'm trying to get you to go up and consider his point of view. All that he's done for the United States of America. And you know what? Most of the time when he hears his name come out of the mouth of an American, it comes out as blaspheme. It comes out as a swear word. I mean, he's feeding us and providing us such a good land and an abundance of bounty. And he hears his name blasphemed and blasphemed and blasphemed. I'm going to tell you something. We have a patient God. We have a merciful God. We have a God that's full of grace. But you know what? Because of the climate of an anti-God climate in America, don't you think it's an extra special blessing? When he sees somebody bow their head before they eat, just say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Lord, you didn't have to do this for us. I mean, you know what? We're like a bunch of little spoiled brats with an entitlement mentality. Well, it's God's job. It's God's job. It's God's job. Good night. We wonder, why do we don't receive more of the blessings of God upon our life? I mean, come on. This is what I want you to do this week. I'm telling you, we're going somewhere with this. I'm not reinstating the turtle law yet, but I'm close to it. I'm close to it. We had family camp several years ago, and I started the orientation of camp just by saying this. Listen, folks, we're going to be together for an entire week. The one thing I don't want to hear is complaining. So anytime you hear somebody complain, you just yell the word, turtle, turtle, the minute you hear them complaining. Every once in a while in some corner of the camp, I'd hear somebody going, turtle, turtle, pointing at somebody. And they'd always try to deny it. I wasn't complaining. I wasn't complaining. If we come up with all the other technology, why can't we put something on everybody that just screams at every time it hears us complain about something? And come on now. What I'm saying is this. You think that blesses the Lord? Well, preacher, I have problems. Well, you have problems and I have problems. And you know what? God's there even during the problems. Let me ask you just a question about your problems, okay? All right? What good does it do to complain about them? Does it change them? You know what it does? Listen, folks, I want to share something with you. All complaints are complaints against God. Every complaint's a complaint against God. All bitterness is bitterness against God. As soon as you'll embrace that and get that, well, no, I'm not bitter at God, I'm bitter at this person. No, you're not. I'm telling you, no, you're not. Ultimately, in your heart, you're bitter that God allowed that person to. Okay? What I'm saying is we just need to purge. Hey, let's start at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Let's just purge Blessed Oak Baptist Church of the complaining. Let's just purge Blessed Oak Baptist Church of the bitterness. Walk around like we've got a right to walk around with a scowl on our face and a dark cloud over our head, and nobody understands and nobody cares and nobody gets it, and we are the most spoiled people on the face of this earth. Now, I want you to bless the Lord. When you declare your thankfulness, you're blessing the Lord. All right? When you say, it's a good day, you're blessing the Lord. When you say, thank you for this food, you're blessing the Lord. Isn't it great to be an American? You're blessing the Lord. And here we see that he was thankful for the council. Folks, listen to me. I can't tell you how many mornings I get done reading my Bible. And I'll just put my hand on it and I'll just touch it. I'll just say, thank you, God, for the wisdom of this book. Thank you for the counsel of this book. It doesn't just say that. Did you read on down there? Where am I? Psalms, and I picked up the Bible and lost my place. Psalm 16, verse number 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Look at this. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Your reins? David, what are you talking about? Well, David was a warrior. David knew what it was to ride a horse. And David understood the purpose of reins. I like riding horses. I've never been able to own one or have one of my own, but from time to time I get to ride a horse. I just think, again, I mean, think of all that God created for us. And one of the animals he decided to create when he was going through the creating process was a horse. That's pretty cool. And this animal, this big, strong animal, is going to be able to be tamed by man or ridden by man. It may not seem important to us now, but before the vehicle, trust me, it was extremely important. But if those of you that have ridden horses a little bit, you know, you get a well-trained horse. And you know what? You've got reins. What's that? That's those pieces of leather that come off of the bridle and come back, put them in your hand, put them both together. And you just, one thing about it is you just want to keep them loose. If you keep them loose and you're not doing anything, you don't need to do much with them. Okay? Don't be playing with them all the time. You're confusing the horse. Just let it rest. But you know what? If you just kind of lean over to the left with your hand and that they feel that rein touch the right side of their neck, they know that they want you to go off left a little bit. And you just take that reins and you turn it over to the right a little bit, and it steers the horse back to the right a little bit. And you know what David said? Not only am I thankful for the counsel of God, but I think he was talking about the sweet leading of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. Folks, listen to me. You can spend your life fighting God if you want to and fussing with God and just declaring the fact that you don't need God. Preacher, I'd never say that. Well, you may not ever say it, but do you live like you believe that? Or you can be sensitive, learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, not only do I get to read my Bible every morning and get the counsel of God and the wisdom of God so I know how to make decisions, but through the day, as I'm walking this life and as I'm treading this planet Earth, and as I go about what God wants me to do every day, I want to be sensitive to His reins. Don't tell me you don't feel the reins. If you don't feel them, then you need to ask God to help you to begin to feel the reins again. What's that mean? That means, you know what? I'm heading in this direction. The Lord just kind of, in my heart, taps me and says, you know, maybe you ought to come over here and make this visit. Or maybe you ought to stop and pray for this person. Or you know what? Maybe you need to stop over there and help that person there that's struggling a little bit. Folks, listen to me. Don't get to the point where you're so busy going from point A to point B that you miss opportunities to be a blessing to people around you. If you're just sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I stopped at a store this week and started walking up to the store. And like always, I'm in a hurry. I've got a lot to do. There was a gentleman there. I walked by his car about the time he was lifting the hood up. And I got about two steps past him. And I thought to myself, I've got a truck and I've got jumper cables. And he's probably having trouble. So I turned around and I went back. Now why did I do that? Because Jerry Ross is just naturally a giving, caring person. No, I'm sorry. I'm kind of a selfish person. I'm trying to get done what I think. But you know what I did that? Because I felt the reins. And I backed him up, took about three steps past the car, came back and said, hey, do you need a jump? He looked at me and he laughed and he said, no. He held up a little point of a bottle of power steering fluid. He said, I just need to add some power steering fluid to my vehicle. And I said, okay, all right. I said, I seen you pop your hood. And I got about two or three steps. He said, hey. And I said, he said, thank you. He said, I appreciate it. You know, folks, I'm afraid that that's becoming more rare. Used to be in our part of the woods. Come on, country people. Let's stay country people. I mean, I did 8 years in inner city Chicago. I literally have watched people collapse in the middle of the street, lay in the street, and people swerve around them like they were a dog. Okay, that's not who we're supposed to be. That's not who they're supposed to be. Sure not who, you know what, somebody gets to the side of the road and got their hood up. You know what, stop just to, well, they got a cell phone. Why don't you just go ahead and stop? Maybe that was God's opportunity for you to be a blessing to somebody. You know what that's called? That's called feeling the reins. I know this is off track, but I'm still glad I live in a part of the country that when a cemetery procession comes down and some cars are coming down, the people still pull off the side of the road and show some respect. And you young people, they're getting your license. You listen to me. I don't care where you're going. I don't care how big of a hurry you're in. One of these days, that's going to be your mom or your dad, or it could be your grandma or your grandpa. Show some respect. Okay? I'm just talking about old-fashioned stuff here. You see, what's the big deal? I'm telling you. I think when I turned around and said, do you need a jump? I think that the Lord looked down from heaven and was blessed. That's what my son would have done. That's what my son would have done. You may not think it's a big deal, but when I pull off the side of the road, say, preacher, why do you do it? Not because I always want to. Sometimes I'm really in a hurry. But you know what I hope? I hope God looks down from heaven and said, that blesses me. You know what? There's still a part of America where people just aren't so focused on themselves that they've stopped caring about other people. Folks, all of us are going to have opportunities this week to be a blessing to the Lord. And you know how we do that? Let's stop the complaining. Come on now. And listen, this is something that's real easy to slip into and real easy to become a habit of life, and you don't even realize it. I'm going to specifically, and I prayed about this before I preached the message, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to really prick our hearts this week if we start complaining about stuff. And I mean this, young people, good night. I'm so tired of listening to young people complain. What do you have to complain about? Man, I want to take you to a third world country and drop you off in some village and leave you for about a month. watch you scrounge to just get enough food to live for a month. Come back with a changed heart and a thankful spirit about how good God's been to you. Man, so thank Him for this country. It was a blessing having everybody come over yesterday. You know what I want? I saw a Thanksgiving. It wasn't a church picnic. It was a Thanksgiving. It was a Thanksgiving meeting. It was wonderful to walk around and listen to the fellowship. It was wonderful to just have people have a plate of, man, I don't know who made the tomatoes and cucumbers and onions. And when I was a kid, I wouldn't have touched that with a 10-foot pole. But I got a big bunch of that. And then the potato salad, the yellow one with the little, what's the stuff they put on top of it? What is it? Yeah, that stuff. It was on there. And I put a big scoop just right on top of it. Just kind of mixed it all up. Then I went over, and Brother Ryan Tharp had made those brats, and I pulled off one of them big brats and cut it up in pieces on top, just laid it all together. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I'm just sitting there, had a time of my life. Now, you may think I'm crazy, but I sat there and I looked at those things and I said, Lord, thank you for making a cucumber. And thank you for making a tomato. And thank you for making an onion. And thank you for this potato and whatever else is in potato salad. And Lord, I know we're not really following Old Testament dietary laws, but man, thank you for this brat. It is amazing. I just want everything you touch this week. Can you just walk up to your car before you get in? Just touch it. Preacher, you haven't seen my car. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You just, listen, can you just pull in front of the house you live in and just say thank you? Just say thank you. Okay. Can we just have a moratorium? Moms, dads, could you have your antennas really tuned in this week and just absolutely just have a meeting after church and tell the kids, you're usually in trouble with you when you complain. It's going to be the death penalty this week. We are not complaining. You know, come on now. Human sacrifice, it discourages the rest of them from you. Just cost you one kid, the rest of them will be better. Amen. It's time for dads to just take control. Come on, I mean this. I am not going to live in a house where I listen to kids complain. I'm just telling you flat out. I made up that mind when we had children. I am not living in a house where I'm listening to the kids walk around complaining. I mean, you're going to do it. As a human being around me, I mean, we goof around somewhere here, but I mean, you know what? I'm going to call you on it. I think I really need to, I'm talking about in the foyer, I'm talking about I need to start calling some people. The only time you ever come talk to me is when you're complaining about something. Stop it. You're not blessing the Lord. You're sure not blessing me. Stop, I mean it. I'm sick and tired of hearing how tough everybody's got it. Stop it. Why don't we spend a week just praising God and thanking God and being a blessing to God? You know, one of these days I think God's just going to look down and he's going to about had it with America. Y'all sitting there whining, complaining, talking about how terrible and horrible everything is. Let me let you taste a little terrible and horrible. And I honestly think God's got his hand on the spigot of blessings. I think he's so sick of it. I would be if I was him. I'd be so sick of it that I think he'd just start to turn the hand a little bit and say, okay, I'm going to let you have it as tough as you think you have it. Then maybe then you'll realize what a blessing I've been. And maybe you could start being a blessing back to me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've just touched on this. Just 2 points. But Lord, I hope a reminder. The rest of the verses are in the Bible. We can all find them. But Lord, more importantly, dear God, I pray that you'll help us just to take this thought with us and help us, Lord, to learn to be a blessing to you. Lord, we certainly have been blessed. What a country. What a bounty. So many good things. We got clean water to drink and clean air to breathe. And Lord, most of us, compared to the rest of the world, live like kings and queens. Live like royalty. Lord, nobody here is dressed in rags. Lord, I don't think anybody's gone a week without eating unless they've chosen to. Lord, I want to be a blessing to my Creator. I want to say thank you more than I have been. I want to stop and pause and just let you know that I know how blessed I am. I pray, Lord, that you'll use this message to change a little bit of the spirit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pray that you'll do something sweet in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.